And Party Friday, the Chuck and Julie show. Chuck is like, wait, are we on now?
We are now. Chuck and Julie. Chuck and Julie show. Party Friday. Truth on Straight Up. It's a beautiful day here in Colorado. Really warm out in the driving range. Boy, it just feels good.
Chuck doing a lot of show prep today.
Show prep on the range.
Show prep out of the driving range. Hey, on the show today brought to you by ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice, a great website to check out. We check it out every day.
Gotta check it out every day.
We were hoping to get, and we may still, but it's not looking that good. We're hoping to get a state representative, Patrick Neville, for the weekly minority report. However, as you well know, the state legislature is in a, that's not really a special session. It's a continued session. And he
they're
and
not
I,
afraid of the rioters anymore.
No, they're not afraid of the rioters anymore. And Patrick and I had texted earlier, and he said, you know, look, we've got 38 bills to get through today. We're on number 3. And that was like 20 minutes ago.
Right.
No, not quite, a little bit longer than that. But he said he might not be able, he is busy saving us or trying to save us. Yeah, from the Republicans. We're going to have Mike Dunafin, the mayor of Glendale. I'm going to talk about some pretty cool reforms they did with the police department, as well as our thoughts on police reform. And then grassroots activist Jan Cook coming on at 3:40 Colorado time to talk about this. I think it's a great move by Republicans to try to get Jared Polis to, you know, relinquish his dictatorial.
This phony,
yeah,
BS quarantine. They get it right. All locked down. Not for the protests. You can loot. You
right.
can't
if
shop.
It's a riot.
As long as you loot, you know, you go, I'm not here to shop. Don't worry. I'm just looting.
I'm going to steal all this stuff. I may give him my credit card
on
the way out.
Credit cards. You know, we're looters. We're not, you know, we're protesters. We're not
somebody
shoppers.
Somebody in Texas saying they're going to open a restaurant and name it Riot. And
yeah, right. I'm going to do it down to a riot. Oh, okay, son, go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
I guess, do we have the curfew on in Denver?
No, curfew's over now.
Oh, how nice.
Well, here's what, you know, I'm going to let you in on something. And let me, since we don't have Patrick, I'm going to go ahead and we'll open up to phone calls too. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. For all you guys listening on Zoom, if you want to talk, just go ahead and bring your picture and, well, your audio and or your picture up, and then we'll see that you're there and we can call on you. But, you know, it's ridiculous. As I said before with the riots, they know how to prevent them. Hancock knows how to prevent it. That we've seen that the last few days, and they didn't. Ted Trimp, our Dem strategist, or sort of Soros, as you call him, the last show that we had, openly acknowledged that at a certain point, the sort of Soros people rushed everybody in. That's all of a sudden you've got people with tables there. They're, you know, they got bottles of water that they're
bricks,
distributing.
You know,
no, he denied the bricks. He said, not the bricks.
That's
he said nothing
group.
About the bricks.
That's
it's a different group.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they could have been that organized if they'd wanted to at the beginning. So they wanted some of the riots. I think the reason they're keeping it organized now and knocking back in the riots is it wasn't a good look for them. It wasn't.
Well, now they've got the endless funerals going on, which they did with John McCain.
So I have a friend who has relatives in Minneapolis who recently had somebody die, right? And they were outraged. They said their family could only have like 5 people, maybe 10 people at the funeral, right? So their family member could only have 5 people at the funeral. But George Floyd, not that he doesn't deserve to have a ton of people at his funeral, but if you know, if you're the right person who dies, and if you're on the right side of the political spectrum, or something they can use for their narrative, then everybody in the universe.
Well, de Blasio broke up that Jewish funeral.
Right.
But, you know, for their little deal, you know, hundreds, no social distancing, some with masks, some with not. We've all been just crooked. It's just crooked.
But here's the thing. Wanted to start out, too, with good news.
Good news. Yay.
So Trump, you know, we've all heard about sort of like the alphabet soup of the recovery. You know, is it going to be a V? Is it going to be an L? Is it going to be a W? Look at that. I practiced that. A W, right? Or is it, you know, who knows? Is it going to be a U? And it seems today Trump said it's not just a V. It's a rocket ship. The jobless numbers that all the mainstream corporate media are saying, oh, it's going to be horrible.
Washington Post sent out a tweet saying it's going to be almost 20%, and then oops, they added. Oh well, forget that one.
The economy added 2.5 million jobs. The unemployment rate dropped.
down to 13 point something.
And I say that that shows, once again, what I said all along, which is not really all that genius. Anybody knew it, it is genius. People want to work. People are willing to work. Restaurants are willing to open. Everybody is happy to do all of this stuff. All you got to do is let them have a chance and put America back to work, and the economy can take off. And again,
and what's the best thing about these, where are the jobs coming from? Hospitality, hotels, manufacturing. But what was the one group that was down? State and local government. Nothing better than state and local government. They're so bloated. Over, you know, key when you got a job in local government is find somebody to do your job so you don't have to do it for that, and then go to a 4-day work week.
Well, exactly. Jeff Cohn, Adams County. It's so dangerous out there. We can have
Westminster. Westminster's a place where they're on a 4-day, 3-day, 1-day work
week. Karen Catalina, our colleague, host of Spouting Off, which is on right before us a couple hours. I see you popped in.
I did. I popped in because I was dying to make a comment, and then I will enjoy watching the rest of your show.
Okay.
But on Wednesday, you asked me about, what did I think about Ted Trimpa? And it's funny, you know, Ted Trimpa is so effective because, number one, he makes things sound reasonable and justifies the unreasonable.
Yes.
You know? Well, that's a Democrat.
And then you think about it and you go, you know, I would have said this. And here's what I wish I would have said about Ted Trimpa, because it works on you, you know. He's so much more calm than I usually am. And the thing that bothered me is that leftists and Ted Trimpa were asking for discernment to ask for the difference between protesters. And Julie knows right where I'm going, to ask the difference between protesters and rioters. And we have to be discerning and we have to know the difference. But one bad cop makes all cops racist. Oh. It's that kind of lack of discernment that they apply to their opponents that they never apply to themselves.
But it's the other good one was to differentiate that quarantine doesn't apply to a First Amendment exercise of your protest.
Social
justice is an exception. It's like rock, paper, scissors. You go quarantine, they go social justice.
Yes.
Well, that's over that.
Opening restaurants, no.
No.
I have a theory about what's happening right now. I mean, I think it's finally becoming clear, at least among conservatives, that all of this, every last bit of it, is an attack
garbage
on this country for one end, and that is to subvert this country and turn it into a socialist communist nightmare.
Yes. Yes.
Everything they do, there's a flaw in everything they do. And my theory, about which I cannot prove anything, is that this is something, God forbid, Hillary would have been elected.
Oh.
We would have seen this in the last year of her second term. And what they've done is they've truncated a lot of this now because Trump got in the way.
Right.
So are you planning to get your...
One other sentence, Chuck, and then I really love to hear what you have to say. Mm-hmm. I think we're seeing the illogic of that revved up in extra fast speed so you can see it better, because this is what they do over a period of decades.
Yeah. Right. Well, and they've been doing it. All right, Karen, thank you for that. Everyone else?
No.
Well, I want to hear what... Oh, you got to go?
No.
I was dying to know.
I just want to know, you're getting your knee pads out for the official taking a knee for your
white
privilege.
Oh, yeah, we all have to kneel now. Yeah.
Five U.S. senators who are up in Minnesota. They're all down on their knees. I mean, is there anything worse than the servile, supine liberal?
Oh, and they need poor bread of Drew Brees.
Drew Brees had
gets fired for saying all lives matter. I mean, if you were an alien, okay, and you landed on our planet right now, and you wandered around, you would be like, what? You know, you look up your spaceship and you just go and nuke it or something, because you're like, these people are dangerous all over the place, you know?
Do you remember the movie Superman 2?
No.
I get them all mixed up.
But it's the Christopher Reeve movie. And I've always used it, and now it's pertinent. I used it on my show today, the audio. Okay. Terrence Stamp, when he goes around telling people that
you will kneel before Zod.
Right.
That's what it works. Like.
It works.
It works. It works. Garrick, thank you. Well, before we let you pop back out, where can people hear you firsthand and find you on their own? Because you do a lot of great things, too.
Thank you very much. KarenCataline.com. And I do Spouting Off. And I'm honored to be able to do fill-ins for several national hosts, and they call me often. I guess they want vacation time, so I'm happy to step in.
All right, there you go.
All right.
Oh, and one other plug. I have a new piece out in the Western Journal and also on my website called something. I can never remember the title of my own piece.
Something Great.
The Only Shade of Gray, Only One Shade of Gray, Why Socialists Are Threatened by Individuality.
All right.
Check it out.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great show. Have a great weekend.
You too. All right. And here, this is from Sandra to everybody. Karen is so right. All of this idiocy has been in the making for a very long time. Sorry about that. But I think, though, what's happening, a couple things, is the economy being good, I think, is very good for Trump. I think that
he needed good news. We needed good news. No, forget about him. We needed some.
Well, and I mean, we can only cross our fingers, but I suspect that I'm going to be right on this. It is going to be a V recovery. Now, there's some people who are worried in the fall that it might turn into a W, but I think some of the information coming out of Italy is that the virus has not mutated into something worse, but rather it's mutated into something almost insignificant. The viral load, they were saying, is very low. People aren't getting sick. I mean, we're seeing the rates decline. This I thought was interesting, and you know that this is what's happening because look at what the mainstream media is doing. So on May 26th, on basically all of the cable news shows and the mainstream and like CBS, ABC, roughly 13% of their show, according to somebody who did this, was dedicated to the coronavirus, right? Okay, this week it's been 3%. They know the coronavirus is a loser, so now they've been hyping the riots, but it's been a loser too, because I think the average American, your suburban soccer mom, wherever you are, I mean,
she's either getting knee pads out or maybe she's getting a backbone.
They don't like to watch these people destroying businesses. If you're a business owner, in liberal downtown Denver, and three nights in a row, you got to go out because the rioters have looted your store, they broke in your windows, you know, you aren't saying, oh no, let them riot. That's
all right.
Good.
Let's see what Tara thinks. She's on line one. Tara, thanks for joining us.
Hey, so I've called you guys before. I'm a retired police officer from New York City, and we talked about pensions. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the restaurant in Castle Rock here that opened up. But you know, I created a meme this weekend that said, "No peace, no police." Like, why would a police officer go out now and do their job to get beat up, to get firebombed, Molotov cocktails, you know, or using deadly force for somebody's attacking you, and then you're going to have charges brought against you? I don't understand. Our governors, New York City governors and mayors and Denver here, they're charging police now for doing their job because they're being threatened. It just blows my mind.
Have you gone over the Senate bill on their police reforms here in Colorado?
No, I haven't. No. Okay.
We'll talk about that, but I think we may disagree, you and us, a little bit on that. But I will say you're absolutely right about one thing, though. If they're going to change the rules and hold police more accountable, they have to have the backing of the law enforcement. I mean, there was a big video, and the cops were shooting like the gas pellets at some guy. He was standing in the middle of Denver Street blocking it, right? And he's like screaming, screw the police, screw the police. So they shoot to try to get the car to move. And then he starts screaming, well, I've got a pregnant wife inside. Okay, well, I'm like, now who is the irresponsible person here, right? If you've got a pregnant wife inside your car, number one, why are you driving down to a riot? Number two, why are you stopping your car in the middle of the street in front of riot police? And why are you getting out of the car and then turn around and blame the cops for that?
And Tara, what do you think of Bill de Blasio?
Oh, I have I can't even say on the
podcast,
even on a podcast.
I am not even going to curse how badly I do not like it. Look, I'm older now. I'm 55, and I have friends. Two of my friends just recently retired, so over 30 years on the police department. And I had been telling them for the last 5 years, "Why are you staying? Why are you staying? Why are you staying?" You know, especially with de Blasio. It's been a horrible, horrible, you know, he's been a horrible mayor, not protecting cops. I worked under Dinkins, and Dinkins was one of the worst mayors.
Dinkins was bad.
Yeah. right, well, listen, Tara, thank you for your call. We appreciate it. We appreciate
it. Wait, one more. Wait.
Okay.
Hey, hello?
Okay. Go ahead.
I know it's another subject, but you guys have to talk about Dennis Gallagher and the Colorado, you know, amendment on our property taxes.
Yes.
Patty Calhoun did an article yesterday in Westword, and I started posting it. I put it on your Facebook. I put it on Save the Scalping, and they took it down. They took the article down, and it was a great article about saving her.
Who took it down?
Westword's people took it. So Patty wrote
Calhoun, Westword took it down. She took the article down. I posted it on your site.
Okay, I'll look for it.
Isn't she the editor of the paper?
Well, no, because it was bought out.
And she wrote it, and then I posted it in a bunch of places on Colorado and in New York and telling them how we're going to, you know, our taxes are going to go up tenfold. And it was taken down this morning. Nobody could click on the link again.
Oh, that's interesting.
Do you still have a copy of it somewhere?
But it's on our Facebook.
No, I wish I saved it and copied and pasted it. But
we'll figure it out.
Dennis Gallagher back on and talk to him about that.
They get rid of Gallagher, we're screwed. They'll just bankrupt everyone.
Well, I mean, it'll make your property tax go up.
Yesterday, a gorgeous article. It was a great article. And then, I guess because it had conservative backing, she took it down.
Oh, my gosh. It's something like the New York Times, right? They put in Tom Cotton, and not bad. This is Michael Bennett's brother who did that. It was a good decision. Yeah, and all of a sudden, all the little fascists at the New York Times, the media there, they say, oh, sorry, you made a major mistake letting a conservative op-ed be in
the New York Times has allowed op-eds from Hitler, from Putin, from the Taliban, but not
Republicans.
Tom
anymore.
Cotton. No, no.
That's too extreme.
Too extreme. What a New York Times. Thank God.
Wish I copied the article and saved it because it was a great
article. Yeah.
We'll find it. We'll find it. Read it. Tara, thank you.
It was honest.
Yes. All right.
That's fantastic that you brought that up.
We've got Mike Dunafin in the Zoom room, but before we go to him, I saw Ben had popped on. Ben, I don't know. Did you want to pop back on? Did you have a comment about something? Hey there. Good afternoon.
Yeah. Hi. How are you?
We're good.
Well, I did have a comment because I've been watching this. I went back and watched the last two podcasts that you guys did. So I was doing my homework there. So I've just been kind of diversifying my stock portfolio to buy Weyerhaeuser, you know, for the plywood and also Livio and Ford for the glass, you know. So I should be okay. But, you know, the issue that the lady was talking about, these police officers, you know, they have a rough life as far as I'm concerned. I mean, they're always dealing with the dregs of society. And they're always engaged in somebody who may have broken the law or may not have. So, boy, I would not want that job at all. But they have a rough way to go. But there's some things that should be taking place about their self-policing. It has to go beyond that. It has to go out into people that they meet on a daily basis. I'm not talking about the criminal elements. I'm talking about people that maybe should be involved, such as your electricians, your plumbers, your carpenters, your general people that never get engaged with them. So that's what I see. That's what I think.
I think you're right. All right, Ben, hey, thank you for that. Thank you for listening to the podcast, too. Hey, and I'll remind everybody, just go to chuckandjulie.com. You can get it and you can download. I mean, it's on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean. We're all over the place. But let's bring in then
Mike Dunafin, if we can get him up.
Mike, what you want to do, if you haven't done this before, it could be tricky. You want to go to the bottom left-hand screen of your Zoom picture and go ahead and
hit the audio and hit
the little
video.
Microphone and hit the video. We see it.
Ta-da!
Ta-da! There he is. Now go ahead, and you got to unmute yourself, too, if you can unmute yourself. There you go.
Okay. Yep,
that's
you got
perfect.
It. You got it. All right.
Mike Dunafin, Mayor of Glendale, Colorado. Thank you for your time this afternoon. We sure appreciate it.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here.
All right.
So in police reform, when we formed the Tea Party back in 1998, one of the things we wanted to do is reform the police department.
Glendale
had a police department out of the 70s where they had thousands of drunk young kids and guys and everything else. And I was one of the young drunk kids, and I think Mike was too.
At least he knew some.
Well, I think he got to go to the Glendale jail because he had a fake ID.
Yeah, I'm a rare politician. I started my career in jail. instead did a finishing there.
But their view was to be as, you know, because they had so many. Okay, we'll be rough and tough, and if you even look at them crosswise, they'd hit you. They really would. They weren't exactly, I'd say, the most
community oriented.
No, in fact, the mayor of Glendale, when it incorporated back in the early 50s, he used to go out with another councilman, and he had a Cadillac, and he put a light on top of the Cadillac and give out tickets on Colorado Boulevard.
Just because you could.
Just because they needed money. They needed the money.
There's some places
they needed
that,
the money. And so, you know, if you went along Colorado Boulevard or Leechdale, up until the early 2000s, Glendale was always giving out tickets, always alienating everybody and doing everything else. The police chief used to talk about how a good beating of a suspect was good for morale of the police officers. It really was, but a lot of us, and particularly Mike, helped to really change that. And everybody says, well, why don't we do community policing? So talk about, Mike, what it was done to kind of change what really was a typical urban and pretty vicious police force. Who didn't really think about civil liberties or anything else, to one that I think is one of the best in the entire state.
Well, I think it's one of the premier forces in the country, frankly, because it gears up to police for 140,000 people a day and 4,800 by night, and we're surrounded by a major metropolitan area. So the cops in Glendale have a job that is as varied as you could possibly make it. At one point, we had the Crips and Bloods together, not together.
Oh, that's right. You were right on the border there. Colorado Boulevard was a border.
Well, I'll explain that in a second. But it's if you take the view that you should be passing more laws and you don't know the repercussions of those laws or the unforeseen consequences, I think it's called the Cobra effect. In India, they decided that they would put out a bounty on cobras. It's in the Foundation for Economic Education. And so it was working rather well. They got rid of a lot of cobras. They paid bounty, I should say, on a lot of cobras, but they didn't seem to be making a dent in the bounty money that they were paying. So they looked around in Mumbai and said, we have fewer cobras. We don't really have a cobra problem, but we're paying as much or more than we ever did for the bounties on cobras. So a little bit of investigation, it revealed that people were raising the cobras and taking them. It was a revenue source for the citizenry. So in their wisdom, they said, well, we've got to stop this. We can't afford this anymore. So they didn't predict what the people would actually do. The people who were feeding the cobras and had cobras in their homes didn't destroy the cobras. They let them go. So now they had a real cobra problem. And this happened in Mexico City, where they decided that the odd-numbered license plates, because they had a pollution problem, they would take license plates and buy a hoopty car so they could get a different set of license plates. People were taking the bus and cabs, which were belching out smoke. So they end up, people to beat the game, buy a hoopty. And that's the car they drive on the odd days. So all the pollution went out of sight. So they had to take that all back. They had a bunch of junkers to sell, the hoopties, and the pollution went down. Now, why I'm saying this is you can't have positive policing if, in fact, you're adding obligations to the cops to uphold laws. So in Glendale, Chuck's referred to this, we discovered we took a huge number of laws off the books, which, by the way, takes as long as putting one on because you have public hearings and all the things you need to do. Here's an example of that. We had a bar that had a number of pool tables in it, and those pool tables were a quarter a game. Well, some smart person came along and decided that for whatever reason, whether it was to run the bar out of business, or and a lot of lawyers, forgive me, Chuck, go out, and they're very bright people, and they'll say, I can see using this in the future.
Right.
So we did a video wherein we had to go to the bar because we actually had a statute that we're going to take off the books that night that would not allow pool tables that in a bar that served liquor or beer to contain children under the age of 18 if you're playing pool on a quarter pool table. So we did a spoof on Bad Boys, and we went out and arrested the bar owner.
Right.
Literally brought her to the city council, rescinded. She's in chains, by the way.
Uh-huh.
She played along, of course. Rescinded the ordinance and let her go.
Yes.
So there's every time a sworn peace officer says, I swear to uphold the law.
What
law? If somebody comes along and says, you're sworn to this duty, then they've got to act. So if you want to take that kind of policing away, and we can talk about the type of people we've picked for cops now, you take those obligations to do the right thing off the books. And then you're not dealing with the Cobra effect.
Right.
So in Glendale, we have taken, I don't know, 30, 40 laws off the books. So our goal is to have one law in Glendale, and that is a big circle with a hash mark and a jackass in the middle. Our law is don't be a jackass. Now, happy police officers. How do you create them? Well, you recruit people that have that sort of personality, and we don't recruit for empathy. Recruit for sympathy. The rule of law is in place. I'm not going to try to wear your shoes. I don't understand what your life was, but you've broken the law. Well, now we're collecting money with a gun. So Chuck was there. At one point, we were giving out 10,000 traffic violations a year at $120 to $150 a piece.
Wow.
So you've got a police officer walking up to your car. You've got a tail light out. You know, you're in a heap of trouble, boy, and this is going to cost you $150. Well, suppose you don't have the $150, and now you miss your court date. Your whole world gets turned upside down by one of these things.
Right.
So the revenue for the social welfare systems that was collected at the end of a gun by a police officer was coming into City Hall, and they're happy to put it in the general fund and spend it.
Yeah.
We said, no, we're not doing that. So we went from 10,000 tickets to last year handing out 258 tickets.
Wait, so from 10,000 to 258.
But you have to understand the whole thing to collect it was based on having a judge who was a former mayor of the town who was getting paid a very handsome salary. He wasn't a bad guy.
It was crooked all the way around.
Well, it wasn't crooked. It was just, and he had to have various clerks, and you had to have court nights and had to have more court nights. And all of a sudden, you know, you all of a sudden get rid of the tickets. You get to have a much more scaled down judiciary, scaled down clerk, scaled down everything. And all of a sudden, it's you know, you're not losing any money. It was just the Cobra effect.
Well, when Julie used the term crooked, and Chuck said, no, it's not crooked. We have a tendency when we give power to somebody to not understand the corruption behind what is actually going on. The individuals are not corrupt.
Right.
The concept is corrupt. So in that sense, it is crooked. If you take a look at how we got rid of tagging at the stadium. So we, as I mentioned earlier, we had Crips and Blood. And we noticed a peculiar thing. They were declaring a truce to play soccer together on our South Park.
Huh.
Because the Public Works Department had come out and say, we don't understand this, but our little pocket parks and grass areas, we can't keep the grass on them. They're being worn out. And so a little further investigation, they said, well, you're not going to believe this. There's 8 to 18-year-old kids from opposing gangs playing soccer on these little grass patches. And we're building this big artificial turf field. So we rounded them up and said, we're going to leave the lights on till 11 o'clock at night. We're going to give you free Wi-Fi. Don't tag us, or we are going to take your soccer ball away. We don't get tagged. And they, one instance where a kid spray painted a soccer goal, members of both gangs brought him to the PD and asked
him. He wasn't technically alive, but they did bring him in. So.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. And you know that, because one of the interesting things about Denver gangs, the Crips and the Bloods, and again, for people who don't know, Colorado Boulevard, which sort of borders Glendale, is on the border of what was, I don't know if it is so much anymore, Crip and Blood territory. But a lot of these kids went to school together, right? They knew each other. And it just, so, I mean, and so that was a brilliant alternative. It's not like these guys wanted to hate each other all the time anyway.
Just some of the time.
Well, but I mean, but you're absolutely right. It's like, rather than send the cops in there to keep arresting the kids for playing soccer, why not say, let's let them play soccer there. What's it going to hurt? And well, then it was a win-win for everybody.
When I was at Glendale, working with the planning commission, brought this consultant in, and he said, well, one of the things you can do, you can require everyone to have either a college degree or a master's, and therefore you'll get less violent ones.
Police officers.
And he said, that's the dumbest thing we ever heard.
Mike is smiling.
Because all these bright people, and they're going to be a lot brighter, are going to be endlessly bored with police work. So what you'll get is less violent criminals, but they will work the system and rip it to death because they're bored. They have no reason out there. Say, well, maybe if I stole, you know, if I got into the computer systems, that do not hire people who do not want to do the job particularly, are not suited for the job. You have some other guy who's got a GD or a high school degree, but enjoys police work, enjoys it. He's happy. But having a guy with a master's, maybe not. It isn't. It's amazing what consultants can, bad advice they like to give you.
Well, they're trained in that milieu, we call it, the educational system. We find our police officers a very simple way. We have a leadership committee. And in the leadership committee, we evaluate whether or not we would like this person to come to Thanksgiving dinner or not.
Ah, there you go.
That's what happens later. Is this a person that has an edge on them? Now, they're highly qualified people. Many of these police officers in Glendale now are military veterans that have been in gunfights and have no desire whatsoever to be in another one.
Yeah.
And so they've been under stress. They know what it looks like and what it feels like. So it's difficult for the groups that are bent on causing problems, and that's part of the group, part of the overall scheme of what we're seeing in our country is the useful idiots, to yes, coin some of the phrase used by the Marxists early on, are the legitimate, genuine, happy protesters. I say happy. They have a beef, a grief. They're trying to say, look, we've got to come together.
Right.
Well, they're being used by groups of people that have none of that.
Right. They want to incite, exactly.
It's the opposite. So we end up not realizing this as a population. We just see what we're watching on mainstream media, and we say, isn't this terrible? And you watch the cops reacting. Michael Brown, hands up, don't shoot, didn't occur. Right. You try to tell that to somebody you're having a conversation with that doesn't read, listen, or understand, frankly, the difference between the French Revolution and the American.
Yeah.
Or the poor guy that was selling single cigarettes in New York and had been warned or taken down for it 20 times. And tragically, they sit on him and he suffocates to death. Well, why was he selling single cigarettes? You made it against the law to sell single cigarettes. And you put a tax on the cigarettes out of Canada into New York to the point that the fellow could make a living selling single cigarettes. And then City Hall, with a guy like de Blasio, shows up and says, you've got to enforce that law when you should have ignored. He's selling single cigarettes. It's your job. You swore an oath. Why aren't you arresting him? And he loses his life, and then we gear up all of the grievance organizations, and they come out never asking the question, wasn't it really the legislature that killed this guy?
Well, and you know what? I was going to say this, and we're talking with Glendale Mayor Mike Donovan. One of the things that struck me as odd is I know I'm not a legal attorney, but I thought that the Secret Service was in charge of counterfeit bills, right? If this is a counterfeit bill, I was kind of like, yeah, I'm like, why are they calling the Minneapolis Police Department? But it goes to what you're saying. It's like we create all of these laws, many of which, like you said, who cares if the guy is selling single cigarettes? Who's that really hurting? And they created
their
own problem.
Well, exactly. The state wants its money.
It wants its money. And so if you just, then I think you're absolutely right. There'd be so many things that end up getting blown out of proportion and they explode that didn't even need to occur. And I think particularly this happens with cops. And again, we have a whole set of things that I think they need to do with cops. So I'm not trying to excuse all cops, but we ask them to do so many things anymore, right? We don't address mental health issues. So cops get called on mental health calls. They get called out on all kinds of things that is just,
but, you know, one of the things is how do you pick out bad cops? Cops that are really going to create a problem. And it's amazing how easy it sometimes is. Mike and I were campaigning once in a building and this Glendale police officer came up to the squeaky shoes. We both looked at each other and went, that's a problem cop. And he was very polite. Yes, sir. No, sir. Whatever, sir. And 6 months later, he
was a problem cop.
Well, yeah. A guy got drunk, stayed in his car. When he got alerted, he kind of lurched forward in the car a little bit. So they consider that fleeing. So they put him on the hood. And then Malafronte came up and just kneed him and smashed him down. And luckily, we had a great DA because the cops wanted to get the guy on a felony. They said, well, do you have any proof? They said, yeah, we got the tape. So they listened to the tape. You're right. There are crimes here. We're arresting you. So they messed Malafronte and two other police officers. But it doesn't take a genius to look at Derek Chauvin and kind of go, ooh, that's a trouble guy.
Well, let me ask you.
That's the trouble guy.
Let me ask you about this too, Mike, because I don't think this is the situation in Glendale. But one of the things I observed as a reporter forever, it's like anything. We've talked about the thing before that you can have 100 burglaries in a neighborhood, but they're not 100 burglars, or like 3 or 4, right? Same thing. I did a lot of research into police internal affairs complaints at the Denver Police Department. It was just a relatively small group of officers had complaint after complaint. I mean, there was one officer had like dozens of complaints, right? But they never did anything to the guy because they had their convoluted system. They had the police union had a lot of power there and had people in position who were judging the cops.
And that's why it made it
almost impossible to get rid of them.
The only way you get rid of those guys is you get rid of qualified immunity. Get rid of qualified immunity and make the subject to lawsuits, and they all of a sudden go, whoa, this guy's is going to cost us even more money. In fact, let's make him pay part of it. But qualified immunity for police officers, which is just invented by Supreme Court, is obscene. It's obscene.
Well, you essentially have the same problem with tenure.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
So in the case of real leadership, if you've got a bad cop, you fire him. And then you go right to court with them. You make their lives miserable for what they've done. And yours is going to be miserable in the process, but you must remove the bad apples. A lot of forces are afraid to do that. Yeah. So they don't remove them. And we all know what it's like to deal with somebody in the schoolyard that is a bully. You don't keep tolerating them or hoping that you can reason with them, because it's not going to happen whether it's a cop or a criminal. The cops are more visible because the cities have deep pockets. And then they make this decision, the actuarials make the decision, what's the value of this lawsuit? So you pay the little piggies to show up at the trough rather than going and defending the citizens, finding the bad cops, defending the good cops, and take it straight as far as you can take it until you prevail for the citizen and your municipality. They don't do that. They take the shortcut. And shortcuts, we were told as kids, are always the most expensive thing you'll do.
There's some truth to that. Well, it sounds like though you guys are doing a good job in Glendale.
We haven't had a use of force complaint, knock on wood, in 6 years.
Wow. You're kidding.
No.
Wow.
We do concierge policing. And this is arresting people with no complaints about improper use of force. We instituted a software package that outlines all of the reporting that we do. So it's called a force continuum. You don't use excess force ever. The force continuum means that if they raise the continuum, it gets more difficult. You have to respond, but only to that level. So you think about that. With all the lawyers chasing and all the ambulances, guys are handcuffed and treated properly, men and women. They have a court date. They bond themselves out or they don't. They show up in Arapahoe County, and not a use of force complaint in 6 years.
Wow. That says something, because you're right. Glendale, I mean, you're in the middle of a big urban area. So you've got a very diverse set of people that you're working with. So
we're like Ferguson, Missouri. Ferguson is the same thing. It's surrounded by a major metropolitan area, but the police and the citizens, some citizens, had an adversarial relationship. You don't want to foster that relationship. It's concierge policing. You get to know people, you treat them well. Look, your license, I know your license is up to date, but your plates are out by a month. You had, you know, get that fixed for me. And be careful when you go into another jurisdiction, because they'll give you a ticket.
All right. Well, Mike, listen, thank you for this.
Appreciate
your time. Mike Dunafin, mayor of Glendale, will be talking to you later. Thanks, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. All you got to do is unvideo and unmute yourself. And I don't know, we were going to switch gears a little bit with Jan Cook. Jan, are you here? If you're here, you can kind of, you are here. There you go. Jan Cook is there. Goodbye, Mike.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. How are you? Jan is our grassroots activist. I said to Jan, how do you want me to describe you? This is perfect. This is what I want to be when I grow up. A consultant, grassroots leader, and activist who supports freedom policies that lift people up. I mean, it's beautiful. Yeah. I mean,
well, wordsmith.
Yeah. Can you just go down and give that to the legislature? So we were not able to get Patrick on today because he's trying to save us from all the things they're
38
doing.
New bills.
Yeah.
Destroy
but
us.
You had some you wanted to talk about. What's going on?
Well, first of all, was I on to talk about the wonderful results of the Initiative 120, which is the end late term abortion? Did we discuss?
Juliana Day was on.
Yes. Because we're going to know on Monday, which is June the 8th, from the Secretary of State. There's no way we're not going to get this on the ballot.
Yeah, right.
First of all, it was under 10,000 signatures we needed to get. That's valid voter, registered voters in the state of Colorado. We collected over 48,000 in less than 2 weeks. We were able to verify 31,000 valid signatures. We lost track. We didn't have enough time to do the number. So we've got this. There's no way they can throw out.
Right.
Well, whatever.
Polis is going to have an emergency declaration saying that any ballot initiative that starts with the number one in it, you know, can't be on. I mean, don't ever say there's no way. I think what we're saying right now. But no, great job, Jan. Great job.
No way, because there will be a lawsuit.
Well,
get on there.
Where does it go to?
Where does the lawsuit go to?
Colorado courts.
Don't be a pessimist.
Even they're going to have difficulty.
No, they don't. No, they don't. They're totally corrupt.
But there's so much going on. Another one is the Senate Bill 163.
Right.
Back. And if people don't know what that's about, it's school immunization, which is, by the way, I just want to point out just a couple of quick facts here for you to think about. It's coming to the Capitol. When's the reading? On Sunday. Okay.
Perfect.
We already have very few people, very few citizens, because of social distancing, can participate. They can write in and send written documents. Like, that really is going to persuade these people.
Right.
And there's a rally at the Capitol. It's called Storm the Capitol. And two star people are going to be there, Michelle Malcolm
Oh, great.
Bobby Kennedy. Bobby Kennedy Jr. will be there because apparently he is for medical freedom. He's had several children that were affected, impacted negatively by vaccine.
That's an interesting mix.
That's a real combo.
Talk about bipartisan support.
Yeah. I want to see those two together.
Get a video reporter on that one. Wow.
You know what? Think about it. After the riots and everything, if you can bring Michelle Malcolm and Bobby Kennedy together on an issue like this, which is really, folks, it's freedom. It's medical freedom and choice for you and I to decide based on our children, our knowledge of our children's medical history, what do we think is the best medical path for them. This bill is usurping that. Let me just give you a couple of quick highlights. One is that it removes the religious exemption and personal belief exemption that was established back in a statute back in 1978. Okay, so it's making it difficult. They're calling it a new term called non-medical exemption, but basically it is discriminating. This is where the government gets to discriminate.
They get to tell you your religion isn't good enough, and we're making a rule against your religion specifically.
So now we have government discrimination here with these vaccinations. Another one that a lot of people don't understand: homeschooling is not exempt if you are a homeschooler that uses the public programs and any kind of enrichment activities anywhere related to a public school. You will be subject to this bill. A lot of people don't realize that.
Okay. Because I think that's a reason, am I not right, that sometimes people choose to homeschool, right?
Yeah.
Because of requirements like
this.
Right. Okay.
But if you use any of their packaged umbrella programs, you're subject to this. Now, here's the worst one of all, in my opinion, given what we've experienced with the emergency declaration and health departments.
Right.
This is shifting the control from your legislators over to CDPHE,
which is
Colorado, again, public
and
environment. Look at how they have used control, force and control on the Colorado,
which
is pandemic that really has not...
It was all garbage in, garbage out. Right.
Right. So imagine now that they're in control.
Right.
The vaccinations for your children.
Okay. Well, and here's the thing. It's not, am I right in one of the other things about this bill, as all bills, there's nothing in it that just limits it to maybe the mumps, measles, polio, stuff like that, right? I mean, they can add whatever they want to do onto this bill. They can shove all kinds of stuff in this bill at some point or use it to force you to do something with your kids that you don't want to do, right?
Right.
And well, the other thing is that there's no real opt out, because if you opt out, then you have to sign your life away with all your information that you signed out, which a lot of people feel sets up, again, government discrimination, potential bullying in school, potential teachers treating you differently. It's a form of discrimination that for some reason, hopefully people are not satisfied with that they would.
You'd think HIPAA would fall in there someplace, right? I mean, HIPAA, you can't do anything with HIPAA unless, of course, the health department disagrees with you.
Yeah,
right. Exactly. Unless the government.
Right, exactly.
What else are you working on?
Well, okay. Wait, let me back up. This storming the Capitol. Do you want to give more details about that? Or are you guys still
again, there? Come to the Capitol, the West Steps at 10 o'clock. There will be some folks that will be inside testifying during the hearings.
This is Sunday.
In force, there'll be people there that can talk to you. Let's say you're not very much aware of what's going on. We'll come out. There are people there that can tell you more about it. A site that I'd like to recommend that you go to is called Concerned Colorado on Facebook, and you can find more details about this movement. I think you were talking about earlier in the show about 217.
Which one is that?
That's the one with the enhance the law enforcement.
Yes.
Okay.
I did talk to Tony Spurlock, who is the sheriff for Douglas County this morning. All of the police unions, associations, police have been down at the Capitol testifying, and they recognize that this bill is going to pass. They feel that the only thing they can do is negotiate and get amendments in where they can come to some sort of agreement. Hmm. And said the one area that they have not been able to really work with the legislature on is the immunity. That's the one that they
shouldn't work on it. That's the most important thing that needs to go through.
That's our position. That
qualified immunity has resulted in the world's worst results.
I mean, all the rest of us have, and I understand cops have a tough job, but everyone else, if they make a major mistake, is subject to that, could be liable. And I think the fact that police and prosecutors have just this blanket thing, and people may disagree, but it's interesting. So they think it's going to pass.
Of course it's going to pass. Right. Every Democrat has signed on to it. And I think a lot of the positions should pass. And Tony Spurlock, who is a person who bullied through the red flag.
Yeah.
He's not my favorite police officer.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Well, what's interesting, though, that I do agree with Tony on, and my first thought, first of all, this, who knew that the legislature is like the stock market anymore? It's run on emotions.
Yes.
And had these rioters and looters really no concern at all for the citizens of Colorado. And what happens? They get rewarded for their bad behavior. They get, listening to you, and here's a bill that's going to address your issues. Meanwhile, the business people, the small business owners, the moms and dads that came to the Capitol peacefully, cleaning up after themselves, wanting to open up the state of Colorado, they were called ignorant and selfish.
Right.
And they got more rollover emergency declaration instead of...
You know, you have a good point there, Jan. There's no reason. I mean, I like a lot of these things, and I don't always agree with Democrats clearly on this, but you're absolutely right. There's no reason we need to do this in the next 2 days, right? There's going to be lawsuits and everything anyway. So it's more virtue signaling on their part.
The other part of it is the only chance we'll ever have is if we can overturn seats in the legislature. And the only hope for that is massive ballot harvesting on the behalf of Republicans. Absent that, there's no method to do it. But what I loved is, you know, whoever the Colorado Republican Party is ought to hire the organization that gathered 48,000 signatures in a matter of 2 weeks. That's you know, the ballot harvesting goes on for longer than that. I mean, we ought to get a, you know, GoFundMe page. My God, 48,000 signatures. I mean, if you guys, we got to send you out starting October 15th.
Let me jump on.
Well, let her respond to that.
Well, the one other thing, though, that I wanted to mention that Tony and I, Spurlock and I, the sheriff for Douglas County, agreed on, is that they were trying to push for, let's have a task force of the police officers and some of the higher officials, some of the rank and file citizens, get together in a task force instead, and let's look at 217 as the basis of the discussion, and let's create something that truly is embracing the public.
I have to say, the way to have nothing done is appoint a task force.
Well,
you want nothing done, just appoint a task
force. Better than rushing through, I think, on emotions, as this is. So.
Well, I think they ought to, you know, I was talking to the deputy city manager of Glendale, and they talk about, you know, how much storage we have to do if we had, you know, this incredible amount of storage, huge cost that you have to cite every time you talk to a citizen and file a whole report. There are a lot of provisions in here that are really unrealistic and they ought to be changed. But if Mr. Spurlock thinks that a task force will do it, that's why I don't like Tony.
Here's a couple. Just a couple of real quick. Sandra had texted. Isn't the head of the health department Phil Weiser, the attorney general? Sandra. No, Phil Weiser is an elected official. The head of the health department is appointed by.
Yes.
And he's a bureaucrat. But let me jump into something else. That I think is good. I want to end on good news.
Good news.
I mean, and thank God for some of the Republicans down there who have introduced a resolution, which of course nobody will pay attention to, but saying, hello, Polis, relinquish your dictatorial controls.
When do we get rid of this?
I mean, we already saw all of these protesters, you know, we saw the mayor of Denver, the police chief of mayor, arm in arm with protesters who were not family members, none of them wearing masks, nobody's wearing a mask, no one's social distancing. That's all okay. And then Polis gets up and stands, if you're a business, you have the right to refuse admission to somebody if you don't want to, because they're not wearing a mask.
This is biggest
scam ever.
The
emergency never existed in the first place, and it's over. Right. What's going on with that?
Okay, what's going on with that is the joint resolution to terminate Polis's emergency declaration has been filed. The citizens right now, you need to get on the internet and just simply type in Colorado General Assembly. Click on legislators and let your legislators know that you want this brought to the floor and you want it passed.
Yes.
We have hundreds and hundreds of citizens who have already written to their legislators. By the way, there is one legislator that kept responding back to everybody, and it was Jefferson District 29. Her name is Tracy Kraft Tarp, and she said she will not support it because Polis is within his constitutional rights. Why have news for her? So are the citizens, and so are the legislature. Every right to override.
Yes.
Declaration. That has rolled over well past its shelf life.
It was supposed to be 2 weeks.
Let me give you an example of how stupid it is and how much it's hurting businesses. So we have had enrolled Rev in summer camp, right? It was a great summer camp program. So you have camp, and in that you can sign up for a la carte classes like tennis, golf, swimming, right? That's all been thrown out the window because the poor camp people said, well, the state told them, or the Denver Health Department told them, that if the kid goes from the camp to the golf lesson, they can't go back. So they can't do that. Now, there's nothing wrong with the kid enrolling in the golf lesson, enrolling in the tennis lesson. So they're all commingling, only I have to now be there to escort them back and forth, right? I mean, which defeats the whole point.
These rules are asinine.
The businesses are scared. I said, this is ridiculous. And she's like, tell me about it.
Well, all they have to do is riot. You know, we need to get together and riot.
We need to throw rocks into windows.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then the businesses are terrified because they said, we know
demand that people kneel before us. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, and she just said, but we can't risk losing it. And that's why the emergency declaration needs to go away. It's stupid. It's arbitrary. And it's hurting people.
Right. So again, everybody just go to Colorado General Assembly, comes right up, click on the link to legislators and send them an information. Last thing I'd like to just quickly share, there is a Facebook page called Taking Back Colorado. And it is all about giving you can go onto that page and you will get every link to every candidate that is running up against one of the Democrats. All kinds of information are there. Please go and check it out. If you are a troll, let me tell you, that site is very tight. Have a tough time getting in. But if you do get in, you'll be bounced quickly. But the point is, people really want to get engaged. They recognize they've got to take back the Senate, and they have to narrow the House as well.
Well, and once again,
if you get better control,
out how to collect ballots, like you pick up signatures, you have a chance. honestly, you know what? Whatever you did right there is the key to winning in November.
There are things we're working on that we're not going to publicly.
All right, I understand.
Jan is all over the place. As I said, she's a consultant, grassroots leader, and an activist supporting freedom policies that lift people up. How can you go wrong?
No, you can't.
Sunday, 10 o'clock, State Capitol. Storm the Capitol. Jan, I think I'll be there.
I'll be there. And people, follow me at Jan Cook Live on Twitter, and I will be there. So I look forward to meeting to some.
All right,
Jan,
good
thank
to see you
so
Jan.
Much. Good
take care.
Report. Thank you.
Take care, too.
That is going to wrap it up for us on this Party Friday. I want to thank everybody. Let's see. Thank Mike Donovan. Thank Patrick Neville
for thinking about it.
And thank
for
you,
Ben,
Jan.
For coming on, for Karen for coming on, from Tara calling, everybody
Sanders
else. It's been great. Good Party Friday.
I want to let people know ColoradoCitizenPress.com.
And we're going to give you a double thing of Synergenics. Synergenics really is a lifesaver. You've got this period of time where you know, youth is just a number, or old age is a number. You don't have to feel old or be old. You go to Synergenics, Julie McCallum. Give her a call, 720-387-3681. It'll be the happiest call you ever had. She'll talk to you directly. She'll bring you in for free, a free consultation, and you'll be impressed, and it'll be the best thing you've ever done. And the way, if you want to check out the site, it's CENEGENICS. That's Synergenics, Julie
McCallum,
720-387-3681. Just do it.
Hey.
And tell them that Chuck and Julie sent you for the best consultation.
And I want to say thank you to Ben for reminding folks about our podcast. Our podcast, just go to chuckandjulie.com. That links you to every place. If you haven't already, we sure would love to have you like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at chuckandjulie1. And subscribe to our YouTube channel, too. That'll do it on this Party Friday.
Have a great weekend.
We'll see you Monday.